I'm Tyrese Maxey, and you're listening to the 76ers Insiders Podcast.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network, presented by Stern & Cohen Law.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts. Suffering an injury at work can cause physical pain, but also great uncertainty about your rights. You need to retain a workers' compensation law firm that is a winner like our Sixers. A firm that gets some of the best settlements, but is also willing to go toe-to-toe with the insurance company. No settling on the cheap. This is Philly. We have grit and fight in us. Call the workers' compensation law firm of Stern & Cohen or visit their site sterncohenlaw.com. The consultation is free. Stern & Cohen are the official partners of the 76ers. They'll go ring the insurance company's bell. Happy New Year and welcome to Sixers in 60, live from the Wells Fargo Center, ahead of Sixers and Bulls again. Another Tuesday, another live Sixers show. Matt Murphy joined by Nick Stauskas, my co-76er, our co-76er insider, Lauren Rosen, will be along later on in the show, plus a chat with Nick Batum from Shoot Around ahead of this Bulls game. And this week's Fanatic Basketball Insider is Bob Cooney. Bob, thanks for being back. I was just thinking, since you covered the Sixers when Nick played here, when was the last time that you guys were together in this building? Or wow. When was the last time you were here?
When did you get?
Other than.
That was, 2017 was probably the last time. But, man, you know, let me ask you this real quick, Bob. I think the 2015-2016 Sixers team could have given this Pistons team from this year a run for their money, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think the 50 people that would like to see that game would think so too. Those are some lean times, Nick. Some lean times.
No doubt.
How do you feel about the record being matched and not broken for 28 losses?
You know what? I'd like to forget about having to do anything with being on the wrong side of the record books. I just like to pretend I'm not even there. So
fair.
We'll go
fair.
With that.
Well, to lift you up a little bit after I brought you down, we'll talk about Michigan football for a brief second. Congratulations
yes.
on heading to the national championship. Beating Alabama, I didn't see it coming.
Well, I don't think many people saw it coming, especially after Michigan's reaction when they found out they were playing Alabama. But, hey, we have a chance at a natty. And I'm feeling pretty good about our chances right now.
Great game last night. What a great! Both games were great.
Yeah,
stayed up, watched all of the second one also. So I like Michigan.
I promise everyone we're going to talk Sixers. We got plenty of time. We're got a full hour every Tuesday night to talk 76ers. But I thought for a second Washington was going to have one of the craziest meltdowns in football history. Maybe they almost gave it away.
Yeah.
But we get Washington and Michigan in the college football playoff national championship. These Sixers, as we shift into the year 2024, have a 22-10 record. And on last week's show, Nick, we were discussing, we were joined by D. Lineham, but Bob, we were talking about how a lot of fans are like, Christmas game, now I'll lock in more
yeah.
on the 76ers. So I'll start with you, Bob. For fans who haven't been as tuned in as some others, what should they get caught up to speed on where the 22-10 Sixers are at and what they've been doing well to this point?
I think it's three things. The play of Joel Embiid is just unbelievable. And he was the MVP last year. I think by far he's better this year. And that's a pretty big statement. So that's one. Tyrese Maxey, the growth of him and the two of them playing together is two. And then the third thing to me is Nick Nurse and the way he's putting all this together. And I think you guys picked up on it on our little pregame talk with Nick Nurse. He's looking at D'Anthony Melton coming off the bench. Now, D'Anthony Melton's out tonight, but he's looking. He said, I'm taking a look at this starting lineup tonight with Kelly Oubre and thinking, I wonder if it's the way to go. So this quite interesting that he's still mixing and matching even though they're, 32 games in.
What's interesting about that is it was Oubre or Batum, not both until
right.
now because Melton is out due to injury. So maybe it is Oubre and Batum together for the length that he spoke about.
And I said this, Nick, before the season started, I love D'Anthony Melton's game. But you're such a better team, and catch what I'm saying here. Your starting five probably is, if he has to come off the bench, that means your starting five is really good, and that's a great piece to have off the bench.
And I think you could be a little bit more aggressive coming off the bench as a scorer as well with that second unit. And obviously, we've talked about it many times, but he, on the defensive end, he, even though he doesn't have the length that those other guys have, he's done a phenomenal job getting deflections, getting steals, and making his impact felt.
Most recently for these Sixers, we've had a show since the Christmas game, but it was a four-game trip that included the loss to Miami. Then they beat Orlando and Houston and have to turn around and play in Chicago on Saturday right after beating Houston on Friday night. But Nick Stauskas, for you, what should fans hone in on when it comes to where the Sixers are at currently?
There's a couple of stats that I want to point out, you know, that we should keep an eye on heading into 2024. You know, one off the bat, their first in catch and shoot percentage, the Sixers are at 40.5%, but they're 28th in attempts. And a lot of people have said, well, they need to shoot more. Well, here's the thing. When you have guys like Maxey and Joel Embiid who are able to create shots for themselves in isolation situations, you know, you don't want to be going away from that to necessarily get a catch and shoot from someone else. Like, these two have been so dominant this year. And another stat to go with that, the Sixers are third in isolation possessions per game at 10.3, and they're fifth in points per possession on those isolations. So that kind of goes into that. Like, look, when these guys are going one-on-one, they are scoring. And for the catch and shoot stuff, I would rather have quality over quantity. You know what I mean? If they're going to be at the bottom of the league in total attempts, but at the top in percentages, I'll take that all day long.
And it was a question I asked Nick Nurse after a couple games into the season. I said to him, I said, I'm seeing different guys bring the ball up an awful lot. Sometimes it's Anthony Melton, of course, Tyrese Maxey, Joel, Tobias. Why? And he said, because right away I see a mismatch right there. That leads to that's why they're not getting a lot of catch and shoots, because right from the get-go, he's going with his mismatch with whoever has it is bringing the ball up the floor. No reason to pass it if you already have the mismatch.
Exactly. And, you know, besides Maxey and Embiid, there's many other guys on this team that can create their own shot. And the real ones know, come playoff time, the game slows down, it becomes a half-court game, and it truly does become who can go get a bucket. And it sounds silly, but that's really what the game becomes in the playoffs. And the Sixers have the roster, they have the makeup to succeed in that kind of environment. And I know fans, but, well, you know, we haven't done it last year, we haven't done it in the past. Hey, there's a first time for everything, and I think this team is starting to get to the point where they're ready to take that jump.
You're coming with isolation stats. I think that we're going to have a new segment called Stats with Stauskas, or Nick Stauskas.
I kind of like it.
Nick Stauskas, maybe? We'll work on that.
We'll figure out something catchy.
Matt Murphy with Nick Stauskas and our Fanatic basketball insider Bob Cooney of the John Kincaid Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on 97.5 The Fanatic. Part of this record so far, Bob, is a month of December in which they went 10-4. Embiid, I know he missed some games, but he became the first player in NBA history to average 40 and shoot above 60% in a single month, which is just outrageous. But they included in the 10-4 December was the recent four-game road trip that started on Christmas. And since we haven't had your take on that, but on the road trip as a whole, what did you take away from it?
I thought it was a gutsy win in Orlando. Orlando's a good up-and-coming team, probably wanting to prove themselves against even a Joel Embiid-less 76ers team. I thought that was a gutsy win there. I didn't mind that Embiid sat four games. I just didn't. He truly rolled that ankle. We all saw it. And we've all done it numerous times, and that sucks. There's no injury I've had playing or whatever that sucks worse than the ankle that's not 100%. So I didn't mind him missing those games. And it does give you a chance to look at different things. And I think Nick Nurse is still, he brought up the word to me a couple weeks ago, I'm still auditioning people. So how better to do it than without your superstar? So you got a couple of wins, great. I think when this team is fully loaded, fully healthy, they're a really fun team to watch right now.
Nick, obviously it's not just Joel's 40 points a game. It's his defensive impact as well. So when they went on the trip and they go 2-2, but you were missing him on both sides of the floor, I was surprised they came away with at least 10 steals in all four of those games, and they're first in the league in steals. What did you think about like the defense without him and trying to figure out different ways to play? Hopefully he's always going to be there when it matters most, but, you know, you got to adapt.
Yeah, look, like he's no question, the most important player for this franchise moving forward. But it's not like this team has scrubs filling out the roster. Like, these are good veteran players surrounding Joel Embiid. So the fact that he's out, you know, I think this roster and this, you know, these fans, they should have confidence in the rest of these guys to be able to step up when their number is called and make a difference.
And a young star in Maxey too.
That's obviously. I mean, I don't even consider Maxey a young guy. I consider him a vet at this point. By the way he's playing, the confidence he's had. The game he had in Houston was obviously phenomenal on this road trip. And you know what stood out to me for Maxey? For me, the true definition of someone who becomes dominant at the guard position, when you can get 40 plus and you're having an off shooting night from three. You know, Maxey was 2 for 9 that game from three, but he was attacking the rim,
getting to the line,
getting the line too. And you see with a lot of guards, most guards in today's game, when they score 40 plus, they get 8 threes, shooting 16 attempts from three. Maxey was all at the rim pretty much, finishing through contact. Loved his pace he was playing with and the ball screen and the dribble handoffs. He looked phenomenal, and obviously he's going to be a very important piece if the Sixers are going to move forward and win these games.
And he's not turning the ball over. You know, it's a volume guy. Like you said, when you're handling the ball and going to the rim as a smaller guy, there's going to be some turnovers there usually. It's not happening with him, and I think that's great to see. I also, the comfort level of he and Embiid together, I think it's something that's only going to grow and get more special.
And I think he'll have some more 8 3-pointer type games in his
probably
career.
Maybe tonight.
Maybe.
He certainly will, but I'll tell you, it is ridiculously tough to get 40 as a guard without really hitting threes. Like, if you look around the NBA, there's not many guards that can do that. And it just goes to show you, like, this guy is fast. He's got a great handle. He plays with great pace. And his ability to finish through contact has been surprising for me. Like, that's what I've really loved to see, is how confident he is using his body, taking contact, and just finishing strong at the rim.
Now, Bob, as we wind down, I know this is pre-Bulls game, but elsewhere in the Eastern Conference, the Knicks acquired OG Anunoby. What do you think about how that changed them and changed the Eastern Conference a little bit?
Well, from the amount of emails that I got from Sixers fans, they're not happy that the Sixers haven't done anything. You see him get moved, a couple other moves that you say, man, did the Sixers have a hand in there? I wonder where they are right now. Does another move have to be made? Sure. You can always look to make your team better. I don't care if it's a shooter off the bench, a backup point guard that Nick and I were talking about earlier. Mm. You know, something like that. Is it another superstar? I don't know. Like, I'll always take a superstar on my team and make it work somehow.
Right.
But I don't know if they're there that they really need that.
Well, we'll see the Knicks on Friday night.
Yeah.
They're part of this 6 of 7 at home to begin 2024 for the Philadelphia 76ers. A Friday night game, Knicks-Sixers in South Philly. Bob Cooney, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
We'll continue on after a break. Nick Stauskas and Lauren Rosen will join us. Stick around. We'll hear from Nick Batum as well. Welcome back to Sixers in 60, a live show from the arena, the center in Philadelphia. Matt Murphy, Nick Stauskas, and Lauren Rosen now in the mix. Thanks again to Bob Cooney for joining us in the first segment. Bob from the John Kincaid Show every morning, 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers in 60 is Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Fanatic. And any Sixers player interviews, like Nick Batum coming up later on, can also be heard on the 76ers Insiders podcast feed. Lauren joins us fresh from the pregame locker room availability. Anything notable to report?
Well, noteworthy, at least from my perspective in the locker room, are the additions of Kenneth Lofton Jr. and Ricky Council IV, who are with the team tonight. Either of them, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, if they were to get into the game tonight, it would be their first minutes as 76ers.
Sixers. Council, his first NBA minutes ever. Lofton has played, 30-something games with the Memphis Grizzlies. But Nick Stauskas, what is that like if Ricky Council IV is to do it, your first ever minutes on an NBA floor?
A little bit of nerves, some jitters out there, but as anything, you take a deep breath, you embrace the moment, and then you go play.
You don't want to talk about your Jamal Crawford moment?
Oh, well, I mean, we all have our welcome to the NBA moments.
That wasn't your first game, right?
That's the thing. It doesn't always happen in your first game. You know, if you have your welcome to the NBA moment in your first game, it's probably something special happening. So, regardless, as a player, you got to cherish those moments. There's been very few people to ever, you know, step foot on these courts, and, you know, to be one of them is special.
Fair enough. Sixers Bulls is what we were talking before. And, Lauren, something that we were covering with Bob is just like this moment in time for the Sixers and what fans should know about, what we should highlight from the Sixers start to the season, and what jumps to mind for you.
Well, two of the league's 10 highest scorers thus far this season. Worth noting, Joel Embiid, despite missing these last four games with the team and a couple more earlier in the season, still the fifth highest point scorer cumulatively in the season thus far, and Tyrese the 10th. The two-man game between the two of them, obviously the two of them because of their spots as 5 and 10 in terms of scorers in the NBA, does make them the highest scoring duo in the NBA at this point in time. And just their chemistry together, their leadership. Matt, an interesting moment came in the locker room after the game in Chicago. That, of course, ended up being a loss in Chicago, but the vibes following the game were not bad. This was a team that felt that they had accomplished quite a bit, 2-2 on the road without Joel, learning a lot, learning to play with Tyrese as a primary option. And Tyrese said something that stuck with me. He talked about the fact that Joel is, without a doubt, the leader of this team. He's the backbone of this team and the head of the snake. But Tyrese has learned to become a leader in that he can offset where Joel's strengths are and where Tyrese's strengths are. Tyrese, of course, a big personality, someone who has no problems being vocal, bringing energy. They joke about it, but Joel is not a morning person. And for Tyrese to be one of the loudest voices in shoot-around is helpful from a vibes perspective, but also when you're the point guard, you need to be vocal in those situations. So the way that they've sort of developed complementary leadership, I would say, it's not just the scoring, the assisting, the rebounding. It's the intangibles and what they've developed together in just the first year of them being a true 1-2 partnership is already so good that it's a great time, if you're not already on the bandwagon, to jump on.
You had a firsthand account of the road trip, which included not just the Chicago effort to end it, and what the vibe was like after that, but the Houston win right before that was a very difficult back-to-back. My first thing is I love the Houston court, like the dunking
is cool, right?
Astronaut at midcourt was cool. And Nick and I with Bob just spoke about Maxi getting 42 points on a stat line that only included 2 3-pointers, but outside of just Tyrese, when the team was playing without Joel, down the stretch, Marcus Morris had a 4-point play which essentially won them the game. And Patrick Beverley had the rebound. He had a corner three before that. And actually in the post-game interview with Tom McGinnis, Beverley was like, yeah, it's like a veteran presence, but we're more than that. It's not just like end of the game, we're vets out there. Like, they made key plays. Morris, Beverley, Melton at the free throw line to help beat a very good Houston Rockets defense.
Yeah, as we mentioned on the last segment, it's not like this team is filled with scrubs outside of Maxi and Embiid. These are all guys that have proven themselves over long careers in the NBA. You know, to see a guy like Marcus Morris be plugged into a lineup and make big plays, you shouldn't be surprised by that. He's been doing that his whole career at a very successful rate. So, you know, if you're the Sixers, you got to feel good that even when you may lose some depth, some guys are hurt, there's other guys that are prepared, ready when their number is called. And Marcus Morris and the rest of these guys definitely answered that.
76ers insiders chatting here on Sixers in 60. Matt Murphy, Lauren Rosen, and former Sixer Nick Stauskas. Lauren, your firsthand account on the road also included a legendary B-ball Paul play against Orlando. How was that?
Listen, it's become thematic, right, that Paul does something that everybody sort of double takes, whether you're on the court, whether you're on the bench, whether you're watching in the stands or watching at home. It's not the first time, Matt, I don't have to tell you this, that Paul whips something from deep in his bag and executes it perfectly. But his teammates get a kick out of it, too. The same way that the fans are sort of like, whoa, 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 whoa. We didn't know that he had that in his bag. His teammates look at him that way as well, and they embrace it, and they were happy. It was awesome to see Tyrese sort of watch it back and realize what had just happened. The two of them, of course, have a great relationship. But watching Paul whip out his little Paul Reed moments here and there has been such a pleasure.
We are going to talk about one of their other teammates in Nick Batum, but Paul Reed... Nick Stauskas is someone, and we'll hear from Batum later, but Paul Reed is someone, Nick, that we haven't discussed much on this show, but without Embiid on the road, he stepped into the starting lineup. What do you think about his game and his impact?
One thing that stands out to me, is, and you know, we've talked about this before, I think, off of the show, but he's a guy that needs to just be more confident shooting the ball. Like, he can really, you know, when he's open on that pick and pop, those are shots that he can make at a high consistency. So I think there needs to be no hesitation from him. I think his teammates and this coaching staff, they're giving him the support and confidence that he needs. And, you know, the games where he's getting like 15 and 10, those got to be confidence boosters where you continue to build your resume, build your confidence. And again, look, Joel's gonna get hurt sometimes. And Paul's gonna get opportunities to come in the game and have his presence felt. So he just needs to stay ready and continue to knock him out.
You actually played against him in the G League bubble, Paul Reed.
He was MVP. He was phenomenal, and I didn't know who he was.
He was a rookie, so that's fair.
I had no idea who he was, and the Blue Coats beat us in the semifinals. He torched us. And I said, okay, this guy's going to be playing in the NBA very soon. And here we are talking about him on Sixers in 60. It's 2024. I'm retired. Life is good.
And, Lauren, you can confirm that he does practice some of the moves that he did against Nick, that he did against the Orlando Magic. I saw it in the G League bubble. He would, like, pull up. There wasn't many resources available to the G League teams at that time, as many as the NBA got during a bubble season. It was quicker with the G League. It was 15 games of a regular season. So Paul would take out his phone, pull up YouTube, put it on a chair, and practice like ball handling drills. And then in 2023 against Orlando in this season, you see him like doing these between the legs moves and passes that he actually works on every single day, like we've talked about.
It's not random. And to be fair to Paul, he's working on everything. He is one of the first guys in the gym. He's one of the last ones out. I remember Nick Nurse early in the season, and then again after the team's most recent outing in Chicago, talking about the work that Paul puts in, whether it's off the court or whether it's with effort on the floor. Nick Nurse enamored by Paul Reed's effort level and the try hard that's in Paul Reed. And of course, Sixers fans that have been with him from the jump, and those of you, both of you who were in the G League bubble with him, saw it from the start. But it's been a lot of fun to watch him grow. And interestingly enough, too, Paul has struggled here and there this season in an enhanced role, no longer one of the new guys on the team. And he's been really open about nights that he's struggled and nights that he's wanted to get better. The Miami game on Christmas Day, Paul was not happy with his performance that night. And of course, a lot of the guys weren't thrilled with how things went in what ended up being a close game. The difference could have been made in so many small areas. Paul Reed's one of those guys that feels like if he had just played better, the team could have won that night. And he really takes these things super seriously. He puts the work in. He wants to be better. And then, of course, every so often, he shows us just how good he can be. Matt, reminiscent, of course, of a kid that's just watching highlights on YouTube and trying to get them done. If you're a kid listening that's watching highlights on YouTube, you too could be Paul Reed one day, which is so cool.
You guys had a good team that year in the Raptors organization. That was Nick Nurse's Raptors era, and that was an upset for the Bluecoats to beat you in the
We were the best team in the league, but in a single-game elimination playoff format, you know, anything can happen.
That team, you had Gary Payton II did not play in that game.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
All right, I need to stop going down this rabbit hole. But
let me say this about – it's a testament to how good NBA players are. You know, you see Paul do something like he did in Orlando, and guys like, oh, I didn't know he had that. You would be surprised how many guys out there can do things that they're just told not to do on a game-to-game basis. Like, hey, this isn't your role, so you won't be doing this. But trust me when I tell you, 90% of these guys can do a lot more than what you're seeing on a game-to-game basis. So it's all about getting that opportunity and then having the confidence to execute when the lights are on.
Different starting lineup because DeAnthony Melton is out. So here on January 2nd, the lineup will have Embiid back in it with Maxi, Oubre, Batum, well, Tobias Harris, and Nick Batum. What do you think about that starting group, Lauren?
Listen, it was interesting. Pregame, someone asked Nick Nurse about the way that Kelly Oubre was out up until the point that Nico Batum joined the team. Then Kelly came back around shortly after Nico gets hurt. So the two of them haven't shared the floor a whole lot. Got an opportunity to do so, though, in Chicago. And Coach Nurse was asked how he feels about the two of them out there together. And he said, well, we're going to find out very soon, right at the beginning of the game, as the two of them start together this evening. Listen, so far, so good for a lot of iterations of this starting lineup for the Sixers. And especially when Joel is in the mix, those are guys that need repetition with him, need repetition with one another. Far be it from me to be the person that takes a strong stance on a starting lineup. Nick Stauskas, I'm curious what you think. But by and large, great for all of these guys who could figure to be big-time role players down the stretch in the season and in the playoffs to get as many reps alongside Joel, alongside Tyrese as they can, especially after over a week without both of that key duo together.
Yeah, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think they'll be just fine in the next 30 minutes, starting together. So
it was more of a gateway maybe into some Batum talk, because he's someone else. Like, the trade happened, and then he just missed a stretch of games. So what do you like about Nick Batum, other than and including his quick release, no dip, 3-point shot?
He's truly a glue guy, a guy that can just do a little bit of everything out there. Doesn't necessarily need the ball very much, but he will make his impact felt. He's got the length. Like you said, he's able to make some kind of weird, non-traditional looking three-pointers. But he shoots it with confidence. He's able to slash well. And it seems like he's got a good understanding for the guys on this team and the players around him he hasn't been here very long, but he has that chemistry that you can see from the jump, which kind of stands out to
and
you.
And like an instant connection with Embiid, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting that, Matt, you talked about his quick release three being part of the signature of his game. Part of the signature, if not the signature of his game. And I remember after the trade, maybe after their first practice together, Tyrese Maxey spoke to the media and talked about how much he admires his quick release and how he doesn't understand how it's possible for someone to release that quickly. And so I was able to ask Nico after the game in Chicago if the guys have talked to him or tried to pick his brain at all about that quick release. And he said something interesting. He said it wasn't always part of his game to get it off that quickly. It's something that he had to make a concerted effort to learn to do. And he's happy to teach, to help the other guys learn to do that type of thing. So not just something that the players, that the young Sixers on this team can admire from afar, but something that they can sort of get to know for themselves should they want to release as quickly as he does. It really is impressive sometimes to watch.
We will have more with Batum coming up in just a few moments. Matt Murphy, Nick Stauskas, Lauren Rosen with you right now. And we're coming to you from the arena in Philadelphia, where there's some videos going up on the board. And there was an all-star one featuring Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. It's that point in the NBA season where there's an all-star push, but the trade deadline is also looming as well, which is, it's just a different time of year. But I always promise like some around the league talk on Sixers in 60. We can tie it back to the Sixers. But is there anything, Nick, like around the NBA that like stands out to you most, or in the East?
In the East, I would, again, I think it's going to be the trade deadline that's going to have, it's going to be the storyline moving forward. Which teams are going to make moves? Tonight, the Bulls, there's been a lot of talk about LaVine potentially being on the move. I'm sure the Pistons are going to be looking to make some moves, and the Sixers have been linked to the Pistons in some talks. Like, I think a guy like Bogdanovich would be great for this team, like absolutely phenomenal. Now, how does that look in terms of what assets would the Sixers give up? I'm not sure, but again, we talked to the earlier with Bob. I don't think they need another superstar here. Like, I think Maxey and Embiid are more than enough. It's getting those supporting guys, those role players, and specifically a sharp shooter. I think that they could really benefit from that.
What about like in the West, when teams kind of overachieve to start, like the Timberwolves and the Thunder at the top?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't see the Timberwolves, being in the position they are. But, man, Anthony Edwards has really blossomed into an all-NBA type of player. You know, he has that composure, the way he carries himself, where I'm like, dude, this guy's a star. He's an absolute star. He's young. He gets it. So that's going to be a major problem in the Western Conference moving forward. Obviously, there's Denver, who's going to make another playoff push. I would go as far to say, you know, I know, you know, Jamal Murray and Jokic, they just won the championship. A lot of people may say that's the best duo in the NBA, but I would pick Maxey and Embiid 10 times over 10 times out of 10 over those two. That's maybe I'm a little biased being here on Sixers and 60, but
that's a great I like the point, because that's like what could Maxey and Embiid become, and now it's like they're there in a lot of people's minds, including yours. So it happened quicker than some people thought.
Unfortunately, until you win a championship, you don't get the number one spot in the, I guess, by the media. But man, the way those two are playing this year, it is something special to watch, and I really think they're going to be able to make a push come playoff time.
Lauren, thanks for joining us. We have to get out of here right now, but we'll have Batum coming up next and a bunch of home games coming up, so we'll be seeing a lot of each other in the next couple of weeks.
You'll love to see it. The first time the three of us have done this in person, too. What a thrill.
Yes.
This is it's a monumental moment over here, guys.
It will win various awards. Thank you guys so much. That's Lauren Rosen and Nick Stauskas. I'm Matt Murphy, and here's Nico Batum after shoot-around before the game against the Bulls.
No, we've done a good job. Even the two games we lost, I mean, we're in the game. You know, Miami, like, we have a great battle. And last one, Chicago, we're tough in the schedule, and, you know, we get there late or whatever, but we still had a good game, and we find a way to win without him. You know, that one, which has been good for us, because I think we lost the first four without him. So now we find a way to play without him, to be effective without him, and we did good. That was a good trip anyway.
What is it like now to reintegrate someone who's as massive a piece of the offense as Joel Embiid?
Easy. It's going to be easy. You know, like, he's been dominant, and man, we've been winning. No, so it's not going to be easy just to bring him back. He's in the lineup, you know. You know what we can do on the court. You know, it's been great this year, so it's going to be easy tonight.
What's the biggest difference, you experience from your perspective when he's out there versus when he's not, in terms of the way he impacts the game?
You know, he attracts so many attention from the other team, you know, because he is who he is, though, and then I think he gives more space to the other guys, like Tyrese, to be more effective as well. So now Tyrese got a big trip for us, but, you know, they've been focused on him a lot. So now we got Joel, like, in the lineup. It's going to be easier for guys like him and the other guys too as well.
Are there things, even with Joel coming back, that maybe you guys figured out or learned as a group that you still can apply even when he is reintegrated back into the...
Yeah, you know, our defense can be better as well. You know, that helped with him coming back. You know, we have a good... It's definitely a good team, good game on defense, sorry. The last four games, we know William's going to be different, so we definitely can be better on defense.
How have you just felt the first couple games coming back? How the hamstring feel, just yourself kind of getting back in the swing of things?
Well, it was good, you know. And I think it took my time. Like I said, it was the first time I got muscle injury, so I didn't know what to do, to expect. I wasn't really listening to staff, so, you know, I took my time, and I felt great last game, so it should be pretty good.
Are you still having to do any kind of treatment stuff?
Okay. On a daily basis, just to maintain and be in good health, but nothing crazy.
How frustrating is it to deal with a muscle injury in the middle of the season? Because I know you don't want to push something like a hamstring that can nag you for a while, but I'd imagine you want to get back in the midst of a season.
Yeah, exactly. You want to get back as fast as possible on the court. You got to be smart with it as well. So that's what I did. I mean, I wasn't supposed to play in 2023. I played one game. At least, so, you know, I was one on schedule, took our time, we're smart about it, and I felt good last game, so it should be all good.
What's the biggest things you'd like now have to focus on, like, in terms of the injuries you're using before with it?
My injury?
Yeah, like just kind of maintaining and things like that.
No, just daily stuff. No, have a good routine. Keep sticking, same with the staff, weight room, training room, whatever. So be smart with it and be okay.
Is there any limit or cap on what you can do, or do you feel like there's any sort of handicap on what you can do?
I don't think I can duck on people tonight, maybe. No, I mean, nothing. I just maybe, like, I think I guess he got some time limit tonight or that one game left, but I think she'll be okay after that.
You've seen this Bulls team obviously a lot in the last couple of weeks. Just what are the biggest keys going into tonight? I think you've seen them twice already.
That's a good question. They're only playing pretty good against us. You know, they get us twice in 3 weeks, so in 2 weeks, so we got to find a way to finally get those guys. You know, we owe them twice, so this is a good team, and I agree with the point they called. They're having a great game against us, so tonight, going to make sure they don't have one and we get the win.